Hello, everybody, and welcome
to Ghoul Society.
That's my little sister, Sarah.
And that's my big sister, Jamie.
We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wissahinich peoples whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests on this land, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society. Yeah. Hey, Sarah, what's up?
Oh, you know.
No, I don't know. Well, we kind of know. We kind of talked a little bit before.
I don't know how you people work 5 days a week every single week.
So, for reference, Sarah works 4 days a week.
I typically work 4 days. This past week, I worked five. This coming week, I also work five.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did five this week, and I have five this week, and I feel the same way. Every week should be a 4 day week. I don't know what's up with this fucking 5 day nonsense. It's actually stupid.
Yeah.
And there's so many studies that are like, people are really unproductive on Fridays anyway.
Yeah.
Because they're burnt out to shit from their 4 days of working.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also just because I technically am at my job for, like we said, like 9.5 hours.
Yeah.
Like nine hours.
It's a
hours.
Long time.
Yeah. So it's like,
yes,
like
I know.
8+ hours of actual work, 5 days.
Yeah. I leave my house at 6:45 and sometimes I get home at 5.
That's so crazy.
Like, I realized, like, I haven't seen the outside
the
world. Yeah. Like, I forgot what it looked like outside my house because I've just been going to work in the dark, coming home in the dark.
Yeah.
And I have no clue what it looks like.
Yeah.
Did I go outside yesterday? No.
That's okay. Montana and I went on a run yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah. It was actually my second fastest 5K.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Montana pushed you to your limit. Push it to the limit, because we're in it, to win it. Name that. Hey, put in the comments, name what that's from, and then you'll get a gold star from us.
Yeah, Montana actually can run, like, his pace is so much faster than mine that I feel bad when we run together, because I'm like
super slow.
Yeah, like yesterday our average pace was 7:21.
Okay.
And that's very, very slow for him.
Mm-hmm.
Usually my pace is like 7:50.
I feel like that's also why I've never run with Bristol.
He's so fast.
I know. His pace is like 5:30.
I know.
He has really long legs though, so I'm kind of like...
But you'd think my pace would be fast.
Actually, I don't have long legs. I have a long torso.
Yeah.
My legs are short. So...
My legs are long and my pace is slow.
Yeah, but you're just learning to run still. It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. We're recording on the last day of November. You know what that means. The holidays are
Christmas.
Around the corner. The snow's coming down.
Christmas.
I'm watching it fall.
Yep.
Here's the thing, though. Remember, folks, there's other things besides Christmas.
Yep. There's Hanukkah. There's Yule.
Kwanzaa.
Yule, if that's...
I would like to celebrate Yule.
Yeah.
I would need to get a Yule log.
Yes. There's other... We're probably missing a bunch.
Let us know.
Those are
we'll
the ones that we
some.
Know.
Yep.
But tell us what you celebrate during the month of December.
That's
or
right.
I found out that Ukrainian Christmas is January.
Okay, cool.
Or maybe, I think it was Ukrainian. I don't know. Someone said something at my work and I was like... Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Someone's Christmas is in January, so that's pretty cool.
Love that. Well, whatever you choose to celebrate over the
cold or not. Wintry months. We hope it is really lovely. Obviously, don't worry, we're not going anywhere. We're still going to be recording.
I was actually thinking, when are we supposed to record? Because my December is jam-packed.
Yeah. Holy. You're telling me, buddy.
Like, I'm busy next weekend, and then the next weekend.
We'll figure it out.
And then it's Christmas.
Also, we were at this awesome market in Langford last weekend, and we ran into our favorite dice people. What's their name?
Oh,
we're gonna look it up. I don't know if the mic caught that, picked that up, but it was Bristol sneezing.
Torden Woodworking.
Okay, shout out to them. Love them. They're so lovely. We got some really cool stuff from them.
Yeah.
Never mind. I was almost gonna say it, and then I remembered that he listens to the show every time. Well, Montana.
Well, when is this coming out?
Before the holidays.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Anyway, Torden Woodworking is tabletop gaming accessories. And yeah, it was really nice. I'm so sorry that I also didn't ask your name, and I apologize because I forgot.
I'm sorry
names,
too.
Names, plural. Yeah. But yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and they gave us a really good suggestion.
Yeah.
That we did this last year as well, is that we did spooky holiday, like, cryptid creatures and myths.
Yes.
And I think we do it again this year.
Yes.
I'll just check and see what I've already done, and I'll find some more. That's one of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm. Because this will come out on the 14th, and then we need something to come out on the 28th.
Okay. Or we could also speed it up and put it out. Well, yeah, that's good.
We could also do an episode on Christmas.
Yeah, it's true. With some hot cocoa.
Yeah. We're going to have Christmas dinner together this year.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I was like, I don't know what I want to share. I have a few stories on the back burner that I've yet to fill out, but I was just feeling so down, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to do a really intense, spooky story where people get murdered, because I feel like we've been doing some intense stories.
Yeah.
But there is still death in this story.
Okay.
So we're still in the death zone. But let's get into it.
Okay.
On May 26th, 1978, a wild, risky, infamous theme park opened its doors to the public in Vernon, New Jersey. It was divided into three main sections by the names of Alpine Land, which was lined with rail cart tracks, Water World, which was brimming with impossible water slides, and Motor World, filled with tanks and super fast go-karts. Teens and families from all around the neighboring towns, cities, and even states such as New York fled to this first-of-its-kind theme park, which glorified its rule-free, alcohol-filled, teenager-run culture. This is the Wild West-type story of Action Park.
Action Park! Oh my god!
I know. So...
So...
I got a lot of my information from a Fern YouTube video, as well as the HBO documentary called Class Action Park. I remember watching it when it first came out.
Very good.
In 2020. Yeah, I was like, it's pandemic time. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
And I rewatched it, and it's really good. So check that out if you are interested. It's really cool to see they actually have, like, footage of the park and stuff.
Yeah.
So let's start with the founder of Action Park. His name is Eugene Melville. He's also known as Gene, and the teens in the park who he hires lovingly call him Uncle Gene, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So in the 1970s, Gene gets rich on penny stocks. And how I understand penny stocks is that they're essentially cheap stocks that are doing poorly, that are purchased and then resold to investors without the investors' knowledge of how shitty they are.
Right.
So
During this time, he's selling penny stocks. He decides to start a company called Mayflower Securities, and he hires Rob Brennan, who's a stockman and a friend of Gene's. He's like super, super rich.
Okay.
These people are so rich, they're also acquainted with the likes of people like Trump, and they apparently knew people in the mob as well. But almost as quickly as it begins, in 1973, the Securities and Exchange Commission shuts down their Mayflower operation. And essentially, this Mayflower Securities Company was a guise to manipulate the stock market.
Okay.
So it wasn't like really a real company.
Right. Okay.
So now Gene and Rob's reputations are ruined and they need a new venture. Essentially, their relationship worked like this. Gene came up with the ideas and Rob helped to keep the cash flowing. Mm-hmm. Now, almost next door to New York in New Jersey was Vernon Valley. During the 70s, Vernon Valley was growing into a new kind of scene. A Playboy club opened and many wealthy people would travel there to relax and blow off some steam. Additionally, there was a couple ski resorts. Now, at this time, the ski resorts needed a bit of love. They were getting pretty run down, but Gene knew that they were a real moneymaker.
Right.
So, of course, they go up for sale. Gene purchases the resort with Rob's money. Mm-hmm. He also purchases another resort, which they both kind of back on to each other.
Okay.
One is on one side of the highway. The other is on the other side of the highway. And so Gene's like, great, now we have these ski resorts, let's keep it going. So we've got ski resorts, we've got Playboy bunnies on the ski resorts, probably. I don't know. I'm just imagining that's how it is. It's the 70s.
Like when they have those days at ski resorts and you ski in your bikini.
Yes.
Except that would be all the time.
Yeah, that's right. However, since New Jersey has a short ski season, Gene thought he could also use this land in the summer for something more fun and kind of transfer that same idea of like, you're doing this fun, risky, independent thing down the slopes, but in the summertime instead.
Right.
So he decides he wants to create a water amusement park.
Yes.
Which he immediately names Action Park.
How would that work though? Because if you're making a water park, like, are you just going to tear it down every winter? Or is it just like a specific section?
I guess they ended up not running the ski hills after. I don't really know.
Oh.
It kind of turned into Action Park.
Yeah.
And then they were like, that's it.
It's just Action Park. It's Action
Park. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were kind of designing this park on the fly because there weren't really water parks like this invented until this time.
Right.
So this is kind of the first of its kind. Now, let's have a quick overview of Action Park. Around 1 million people visited every year, and braving the rides was a rite of passage for the local teens.
Right.
So the teens, they would go there. Some of the teens would literally just like leave their house, not tell their parents, bike to the park, go on all the rides, bike home. Like, this is also the 1980s era of latchkey kids.
Yeah.
So parents don't give a shit where they are. They're just like, be home at some point.
Yeah.
Be home
for dinner.
Yeah. Maybe be home for dinner.
Yeah.
And you would just kind of be fed by like whoever's house you were at the time. So these teens, obviously, the Action Park was like the place to be. At one point, Trump was going to invest into this park, but even for Trump, Action Park was too wild for him, and he backed out last minute.
Whoa.
He was like, actually, no.
That's actually pretty crazy.
Yeah, like that's saying a lot. So people would call it the Chaos Summer Park, quote unquote, as it truly was the most dangerous theme park of all time.
Yeah.
It was under the guise of like, when you go to a theme park, you think, I know that there's risk, but I'm going to be safe.
Oh, yes.
But when you went to Action Park, you thought the same thing, but secretly, you actually weren't safe at all.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. but then actually it's secretly trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And this danger helped the park become what it was.
Yeah.
The allure of Action Park was because you could get hurt, because it was risky, and kids would come back to school after a summer of visiting the park covered with scars. Right. And they would like see each other in the halls and be like, oh, yeah, Action Park? Yep. Yep. Okay, right. Cool. And so it was like the cool thing to do.
Right.
By the mid-1980s, Action Park was experiencing so many injuries that they purchased their own ambulances, since the small town of Vernon only had two ambulances, and I think that they were volunteer ran.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So what made it so dangerous? The park was essentially ran by teenagers who were rowdy and, of course, horny. They literally just were like 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because also teenage labor is cheap. Mm-hmm. There was tons of alcohol, like alcohol being sold everywhere, also to the teens.
Yeah.
And the rides were typically invented and created by Gene or others who were not licensed engineers or had no engineering background at all. So now I want to get into the rides. The first ride. We're starting with, like, the lowest bar and then going up to, like the lowest risk to the highest risk.
Okay.
The first one was the battle action tanks. So these were basically bumper cars designed like tanks, and the windows were covered with chicken wire. Mm-hmm. They also had a cannon on the front that would shoot out tennis balls at 160 kilometers an hour.
Oh, my God.
So you would have to, like, try to shoot each other in the tanks.
Yeah.
And if you hit the tank in the right spot, the tank would then, like, go into a tailspin.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's, like, the game.
Okay.
Now, you think, who's picking up all the balls, right? The teenage workers, who were often inebriated, had to collect all of the tennis balls.
Right.
Gene would often watch this ride, like, from afar, from the outside, and he would assign chronically late employees to this job as a punishment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, of course, like, when the teens would go in to collect the tennis balls, kids would see them and try to just, like,
shoot them
with the, with the tennis balls.
Oh, my God.
Then you have the go-karts. So there were 20 of these go-karts in total, but they were, like, pretty, like, hefty go-karts. They were, like, the racing carts.
Yeah, not like cart.
Like, actual cart racing. Yeah. These carts were known to cause whiplash and broken bones.
Yeah.
They were supposed to max out at 32 kilometers an hour, but the staff would, like, mess with the controls.
Oh my God.
And they would make them be able to go 80 kilometers an hour. And then after work, they would often, like, take them out onto the highway and race on the highway.
Oh my God.
With the go-karts.
That sounds kind of fun.
Also, right by the go-kart track, there was this big tent called the festival tent, and that's where they would serve beer.
Oh,
and also at this festival tent, they would have like alcohol festivals, like Oktoberfest or, you know, like that type of stuff. So whenever they got a chance, they would just have like big festivals.
Right.
Then there was the speedboat lagoon. So these speedboats, kind of like the go-karts, they were maybe not meant to go into a tiny lagoon. They were actually meant for open water.
Right.
So they were small plastic frames with super powerful engines. Mm-hmm. And even if that wasn't scary enough, like a bunch of drunk teens and adults driving around speedboats that go way too fast for the lagoon. And
on
like
a tiny area of water.
Yeah, and that are hard to control.
Yeah.
The lagoon was also full of snakes, dead fish, and gas from leaky boat motors. So when people would crash and fall into the water, they claimed that the water actually felt greasy.
Ew.
And they could feel snakes slithering all on their legs. Ew. Like 4 foot long snakes.
Ew.
Yeah.
Huge snakes. Oh my God.
So we've got the action tanks, we've got the go-karts, we've got the speedboat lagoon. Then we have something a little more intense. We have something that they called the Bailey ball, or some people called it a ball in a ball in a ball. This is how it worked. Well, it was actually just a ball in a ball. Ball in a ball ride. There was two plastic spheres. You can imagine, one on the outside, one nested inside.
Okay.
The outer sphere had office chair wheels that like faced outward.
Yeah.
All over. So it almost looked like a grenade. Yeah. Not a grenade, like a... What are those? Mine?
Yeah.
A mine. Yeah. Yeah. And the inner sphere would sit inside the outer sphere.
Yeah.
And in between the two spheres, there were ball bearings so that it can continually spin. Mm-hmm. And the person sitting in the inner sphere would not spin. Right. They would, like, stay straight up because the outer ball was spinning. The inner one would just stay still because physics.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there was a chair in the middle of the inner sphere. And the person sitting in the chair will always stay upright. They would be buckled in using, like, a six-point harness, mm-hmm. just in case, like you would use in, like, race cars.
Yeah.
And then the door would be shut. And how it was going to work is... the ball was supposed to run down this 182-meter track down the hill,
yeah,
which was glued down using PVC pipes.
Right.
So, obviously, super DIY backyard shit.
Yeah.
Like, Jean's friend literally just built this.
Right.
Okay, picture this, okay? It's a fucking ball with fucking office chair wheels screwed onto it, and then it's gonna go down a fucking plastic track.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. Okay. Okay. So they didn't have a permit for the ball yet. So they call in the testing guy and they're like, hey, could you come like give us the stamp of approval for this new ride that we have? Right. And the guy's like, okay, sure, I'll come. So Gene convinces a regular employee, I saw that his name was Frank. I don't actually know if that is his name. But so he convinced it? To test it. Yeah. He convinces this teenage employee to test it. He's like, I'll give you $100 if you ride ride to test it. And $100 in 1980 money is like a lot of money mm-hmm. today. I didn't do the conversion, but it's probably like close to $500.
Yeah.
Let's actually look it up. Okay. $119.80 is $393.2025. So like $400.
Damn.
To ride this ride. Yeah.
Okay.
So he gets in the thing. He's locked in. He's all good. He's like, okay, good to go. They push him down the track. For the first few meters, it's all going to, according to plan. Everything is great. Everyone's having fun. The tester's like, okay, this is crazy, but whatever. However, nobody accounted for something known in physics as thermodynamics.
Oh, no.
The plastic track in the hot summer sun expanded, making it bulge and warp. So what ended up happening is the ball hurtles off the track the first curve.
Right.
It starts rapidly gaining speed down the hill. It's going down a fucking ski hill.
Yeah.
Okay. It flies off the park grounds, rolls over the main highway.
Oh my God.
Luckily, somehow missing any of the cars. And then it only stops when it crashes into a nearby pond. Luckily, the employee emerges from the ball. He's super dazed and he's like stuttering. And he's like, what the hell is going on? And of course, the inspector does not grant approval for the Bailey ball.
Yeah.
That is one of many random fucking rides that Gene decides, like prototypes, that Gene decides to try that does not get passed. So this is a crazy shit that's going on, right?
But it's so crazy that like even the other stuff did get passed, right?
I know.
Like
barely though.
Yeah, but like...
Well, and we'll get into like the insurance, fraudulent, all of that kind of stuff after we talk about the rides.
Right.
And then you'll be like, okay, this is how... Because when you ask yourself, like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
But also, I was reading as well that this is during, like, the Ronald Reagan era mm-hmm. of, like, do whatever you want and capitalism is the best when there's no rules or regulations and everything is chaotic and, like, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And, like, we'll risk people's lives for mm-hmm. capitalism, essentially. Yeah. And so that's kind of where, like, Gene's mindset is in during all of this.
Right.
So that's a Bailey ball. Then we have the Tarzan swing. The Tarzan swing was exactly what it sounds like it is. It was 6 meters of rope. You would stand on a platform, you'd get on the rope, you would jump onto the rope, and then there was a pool that you would land in.
Yeah.
Beneath, like, the rope.
Yeah.
Which was 4.5 meters deep. So pretty deep, honestly.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first rides that the state shut down for good. This ride also, though, was the main rite of passage for teens, obviously, because it's, like, super cool. So either you would, like, do it and you would fuck up and people would laugh at you forever and you'd have, like, over 100 people watching you from the sidelines swearing at you, essentially being like, do it, you pussy, like, right. you little bitch, you're such a bitch. Like, teens fucking losing their minds, right? And so much peer pressure, just very, very, very toxic behavior. And then also what would happen is, like, sometimes teens would go on, like, female teens would go on and their bras would come off, like, the tops would come off, and then everyone would, like, cheer.
Right.
Because someone is now naked in the pool.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. Anyway. Crazy time. So the problem, the main problem with the Tarzan swing, though, apart from all of the teenage toxicity, was that the water was spring fed and it was only about 10 degrees Celsius, which is fucking freezing. Jesus. The ocean is like 12 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay. On a good day. So it's cold. So when the kids would let go of the rope swing and land in the water, they're going from about like 35 degrees Celsius in the hot summer air to 10 degrees Celsius spring water. It was a serious shock. Also, because it's not salt water, it's not super buoyant.
Right.
One child who unfortunately experienced this shock actually went into cardiac arrest because of the temperature of the water and ended up dying.
Whoa.
So if lifeguards noticed that kids couldn't swim or they were struggling, because obviously you jump in the water and you like forget how to swim because you're just so cold, or you go like and you like breathe in a bunch of water. I remember dad teaching us that from a super, super young age. So if lifeguards noticed they couldn't swim, they would kind of barely help them out. They would just be like, whatever, okay, we'll help you out. So the lifeguards didn't take their job seriously.
Right.
And then they would put a wristband on them with the letters CFS. Do you want to guess what that stands for?
CFS? Can't fucking swim.
Yeah.
No!
Literally.
Can't fucking swim.
Yeah, they would literally put a wristband on the kids that said can't fucking swim. So then when the other lifeguards saw them, they would be like, this kid already got saved once today. And so, like, pay more attention because you might have to save them or don't let them in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. So that's the Tarzan swing. Then this one I think is the craziest one. I'm surprised that this one didn't get shut down before the Tarzan swing.
Okay.
This one's called the Cannonball Loop. So the Cannonball Loop was designed by Gene one night on a cocktail napkin.
Lovely.
He's just drinking probably his whiskey. And he's like, I want to design this ride that you just go down it. You just go down. Wee! And then you just do a big 360 loop and you come out the other end.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one in the documentary.
Yeah. So this was a ride to be endured, not enjoyed.
Right.
The water slide part of it at the beginning was 5 stories tall, which is...
Jesus Christ.
Insane. 5 stories tall, okay, with a 360 degree loop at the end of it.
Oh boy.
The park kept needing to tweak the design because every time they sent down crash test dummies, it would come out headless or limbless.
Yeah.
And they were like, shit. Okay. So Gene was like, you know what? I'll pay you $100 if you go down the slide.
Oh my God.
So he gets an employee to go down the slide.
Only $100?
I know.
And this one's, then the crash test dummies are losing limbs.
Yeah, but then they tweaked it, so it's fine, right? It's totally fine. Yeah. Holy shit. So the kid goes down, he comes out fine.
Alive.
Alive.
Okay.
Battered and bruised, but alive. Okay. Lifeguards would actually have to hose down kids before sending them through
because if there was any friction,
they'd stop
and drop. It'd stop and drop.
Oh my god.
Also, if you were too small, it wouldn't work. If right. you were too big, it wouldn't work. They had a hatch somewhere on it. I don't know if this, I think they said it was at the top of the loop, uh-huh. which is where people would get stuck. Uh-huh. They had a hatch up there
yeah.
to get people down.
Right.
I think they maybe also had one in the bottom section. I don't know. But like okay. that to me is the most terrifying thing I can think about. Like it right. gives me heebie-jeebies.
Wait, so it's fully enclosed?
Yes. It's fully enclosed. It's a fully enclosed tube like this. We'll put a picture on our Instagram.
Have you seen those people on cruise ships who get stuck yes. in the slide part that goes over the fucking ocean?
Yes.
Because why on a fucking cruise ship, why yes. would you put part of the slide going off of the ship?
I know.
That's terrifying.
I know.
I'll never.
One time when I was working at H2O in Kelowna, mm-hmm. I was a big name drop. Whatever. One time when I was working there, because they had water slides there, these two people came through and they were like so stoked, like adults.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you guys seem really happy for adults. And they were like, yeah, we're the ones that design the water slides. And so we're going all across Canada to like test out Whoa. All the water slides that we designed. For fun. Not like actual tests, just for funsies. It was actually really sweet.
Did they have a good time?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
they did. Hell yeah.
That's all.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. So,
okay.
guests would lose momentum on the way down, falling from the top of the circle, face first, and eventually emerging bloody and toothless. Now, this is a gross part. Guests who would follow these riders would go around and they would come out covered in these really big lacerations because the people's teeth were embedded in the slide.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. Blech.
That's so disgusting.
I know. It's so fucked up.
Oh my god.
So that's a cannonball loop. No one died on it somehow.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. But it's also like, Jesus Christ.
Ew.
It's crazy. Now we're going to get into the one where I know someone passed on the Tarzan swing.
Yeah.
But now we're going to get into the Alpine slide. This one seems so fun. And also there's something kind of like this at Revelstoke as well, where it's like you ride on the track.
Yeah, I've been on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
Was it scary?
Yeah. Okay. It's also scary, though, because you're like, oh, what if a bear just decides to, like...
get you?
Come say hi. Because I've also, like, not before I went on there, but I have seen videos of people who've gone on those across the world and have encountered bears. And they chase them down the hill.
Wait. That is actually so crazy. And
yeah.
funny, but also crazy and scary, too.
Scary.
Super scary, but also kind of funny.
Yeah.
Funny because I've not been in that situation.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, so the Alpine slide. This was an 820 meter long, so almost a kilometer.
Right.
Long concrete track winding down the mountain. Small plastic sleds with wheels are used to drive down this ride. There were no helmets.
Right.
And the sleds had two speeds. Painfully slow, or, named by employees, death awaits.
Nice.
Those are the two speeds. These speeds were controlled by a middle handbrake on the sled
yeah.
that oftentimes wouldn't work. It was broken. So, also, on top of that, teenagers riding up the ski lift, bringing the plastic slides back up, because mm-hmm. they would, like, hook them on the side of the ski lift, mm-hmm. they would oftentimes just, like, chuck them off and see if they could hit people riding down the slides.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so chaos from the ground, chaos from above, chaos everywhere. Guests would often fly off this ride from speed or broken brakes, and they would either get road rash from the concrete track, break bones, or hit their heads.
Yeah.
In 1980, 19-year-old George Larson Jr. was hurled off the ride and hit his head on a rock, cracking his skull. Mm-hmm. George was rushed to the hospital, which his parents tried to meet him at, but by the time they got there, he was moved to a different hospital. His mom reported seeing how the hospital bed and pillowcase was fully covered in blood. So George suffered from such extensive brain injuries that when the hospital checked for brain waves, there was nothing there at all.
Oh, wow.
They checked again and again and again, but there was no sign that George was going to wake up, and the hospital confirmed that they could do nothing. George died of his injuries a week later.
Wow.
Now, the rock that George hit his head on was already flagged for removal, though, of course, Gene and his team hadn't removed it. Because they don't fucking give a shit.
Right. They don't do anything.
When the family questioned the park and was going to sue for liability, mm-hmm. Gene argued it wasn't the slide that killed George, but actually the rock. And that it could have happened anywhere. So he's a piece of shit, obviously. And to make it matters worse, to save face in the press, the park claimed that George was an employee. He was riding the ride at night after hours. And that it was raining, all three of which were completely false.
Yeah, what?
He was an employee at one point, but at this time he was not. It was during normal hours of the day. He was there attending the park as a, like,
kid,
public person. Yeah. And it was beautiful, sunny weather. Right. And so they tried to just be like, no, like, since he was an employee, that means that we don't. Like, he doesn't have the same rights as someone, like, attending the park, which is crazy. Eventually, the family settled for $100,000 quietly, and the ride continued operating like nothing happened.
Wow.
The family moved away to Florida and attempted to heal from the obvious and intense trauma that mm-hmm. they had been through. While George's death was the first at Action Park, it wasn't the last death. So, after George's death, then, of course, we have that Tarzan swing death.
Right.
Now we're going to talk about the wave pool. Also, I want to say, too, with the alpine slide, like, you know how I was talking about how kids would, like, come back from summer and be, like, super scarred up and shit? It was always the alpine slide.
Oh, yeah.
Every single time. I think that there was more injuries from the alpine slide than from anything else.
Oh, wow.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
You're riding... go
like a
GT racer, essentially,
yeah,
but made for concrete with wheels on it, down a fucking ski hill,
yeah, with no brakes,
no helmet. Okay, anyways. The wave pool. This was actually the deadliest ride in the park, and the employees called it the grave pool.
Oh my god.
Really spooky. This is a massive pool that can hold up to about 1,000 people. Too many people.
Too many.
That's too many people.
Yeah.
It was 30 meters wide by 70 meters long, which a usual pool, like in a swimming pool, is 25 meters.
Holy shit.
Because when you're swimming laps,
you're
typically counting 25-25, unless like H2O was... 50 meter lengths, but also a 25 meter one too. But like, so this was 70 meters. It was almost three times the length of a regular pool. The artificial waves were up to 1 meter tall, and they would produce a really strong riptide. The deep end was 2.4 meters deep, and on top of this, the water in the pool was super murky due to a few factors. One, natural muddy runoff water.
Mm-hmm.
Two, sunscreen.
Yeah.
Three, human waste.
Oh.
And four, gore from open wounds.
Blech. Oh my god.
Okay.
Ew.
Okay.
Are people gonna die from like hepatitis or something?
Probably, but not like, any recorded. That's the other thing with this whole infections. Theme park is there's only a few deaths and injuries that are recorded, but there were so many that were not recorded as well. I don't know about deaths, but definitely injuries. So who knows what the actual amount is.
Right.
Now, many people would get swept under by the strong current. It was almost like an ocean, except that instead of salt water, it was fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, people obviously had a harder time floating.
Right.
And the waves would just come on unexpectedly and weak swimmers would be taken off guard. So they would try to get out of the pool, but then they would start clogging up the exits.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're in a wave pool and you're trying to get out, but other people are getting out and you like just can't.
Yeah.
And so you kind of start panicking. Mm-hmm. And so what would happen is these swimmers would like grab on to people.
Right.
And then those people grab on to people and you'd have like these huge groups of people
that like, are just taken back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Also, on top of all of this, half the people in the pool are fucking drunk as hell.
Right.
So, like, alcohol plus water plus no buoyancy plus way too many people plus this, like, wave system plus disgusting water.
Yeah.
Super bad. There were 12 lifeguards on staff at this pool at all times. Six on each side.
Whoa.
Which is crazy.
That's so much.
So many. But because the pool water, the pool was super packed and it was challenging to see through the water.
Yeah.
Even with 12 lifeguards, many people who are drowning would actually be missed and they wouldn't be found until later on.
Oh my God.
So they would be down there.
Oh my God.
For a while. Mm-hmm. Throughout the 1980s, three people fully drowned in the pool. George Lopez, who was 15 years old, Gregory Grand Champs, who was 18 years old, and Donald DePoss, who is 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Then I have a few other honorable ride mentions. We have Cannonball Falls, which was like these big water tube tunnels that were elevated above a pool.
Yeah.
And so you would go out and then you would have to do a cannonball to go down.
Right.
But like you couldn't see who is below you.
Yeah.
And so like you might just smash people as you're going down.
Right.
Then there was the high flying ride, which was inspired by zero gravity planes, which
Oh my God, terrible idea.
Essentially, it was shaped like, okay, how can I describe this with words for the viewers? You would start going down a slight incline, then it would drop.
Okay.
Then it would kind of flatten out, then it would drop, then it would flatten out, then you would drop.
I see.
Yeah. So essentially, Gene was thinking like, okay, what I want is kids to actually get air as they're going, so they're almost like they're flying.
Right.
Which I'm like, bro, have you ever gone down a fucking slide and accidentally flew and then hit the slide? That shit hurts so much. But you want to make a ride like this? Okay. During the testing phase, one kid got way too much speed and he flew super, super far, missing the final landing.
Oh my God.
Luckily, he survived, but he was definitely super injured that day, obviously.
Oh my God.
And so I think after they tested it for a while, they shut it down.
Right.
Holy. Then there was the super speed slide. It would get you going over 60 miles per hour.
Holy.
Which is like 100 kilometers an hour?
Yeah.
That seems wrong. Okay, that seems wrong, but I'm going with it. That's what the research said. Around the first 20 feet, so obviously it was just a straight drop slide.
Right.
Which those do exist, like at West End Mall and stuff, which terrify the shit out of me, but whatever. Because I feel like if you fuck up, like the chance of user error is too high.
Right.
Like, if you get scared and you're like, and you're like waving your arms around and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, there was a canopy around the first 20 feet of the slide.
Okay.
To prevent you from
flying out.
Because you would essentially like hold yourself onto a bar.
Yeah.
Lower yourself vertically, free fall for a few seconds, and then you would drop down into the slide.
What the fuck?
Crazy. Oh my God. Everyone that went on it, and I saw this interview on the documentary with the guys from Alice in Chains, that band, and they were being really funny, but essentially everyone that went on it would just get like an enema. Like they would just get water sprayed up their ass.
Right.
Because they were going so fast. Holy. And they were saying everyone that got off the ride would be walking like really funny. Like it didn't matter who you were. Somehow no one got hurt on that, or probably did. No one died on it, though. Then there was the Colorado River ride.
So mm-hmm. you would load into the river ride on tubes.
Yeah.
And it would take you down a course.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the one in Splashdown Mountain in Vernon, except instead of it being like controlled, it was just like through the forest. Whoa, which sounds really sounds cool. Fun. Okay. It sounds cool, but it like shaped the actual, how do I describe, ground of the forest.
Yeah.
And at first when Gene was like putting the water down the ride, he wanted it to be the same as level 4 rapids.
Oh,
he was like, I want this to be a lazy river, quote unquote, that you like swim down, but I want it to be level 4 rapids.
Oh my
god. I'm like, okay, bro.
Opposite sides of the spectrum.
This is like one of those guys who like, also he was always wearing a suit no matter what. So like, this is a businessman.
Yeah.
Never been out in the fucking woods.
Right.
Never been river rapiding. Yeah. Like, no. And then he's just like, this makes sense. This makes a lot of sense. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so on these tubes, you could obviously smash into other people.
Yeah.
Because they would just send so many people down. Like, they wouldn't really wait.
Right.
You could flip over the edge. You could get stuck underwater. You could hit your head in the tunnels. Mm-hmm. And so people obviously got, like, really, really hurt on these rides all of the time. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning, when he wanted it to be the level 4 rapids, early test pilots would come out of the rides unconscious.
Oh my god.
And so they forced him to turn down the intensity of the ride because of that.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the Colorado River ride. Then there was the kayak experience. I don't have a lot on the kayak experience, but essentially you could just like ride a kayak around.
Right.
And there was fans under the water that would like help push the water around. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, someone fell out of their kayak and
got stuck in the fan.
No, but they stepped like on the ground near the fan, and the fan had short circuited and they got electrocuted and died.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yep. So that's all the honorable mention rides. So at this point, you might be asking yourself, where's the insurance for this park? Yeah. What the fuck is going on? Okay. Now, Gene, he didn't believe in liability insurance. He would need to insure the entire park for around $2 million a year.
Whoa.
And with premiums rising every time something went wrong.
Right.
And he was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So whatever. So what does he do? He starts his own insurance company. And he names this insurance company London and World Insurance. And he puts it in the Cayman Islands, which allows him mm-hmm. to create fake insurance documents mm-hmm. and lets him pay his premiums to himself.
Right.
Which, genius, but
yeah,
so fucked up. And it also makes it possible for him to launder money. Because it's in the Cayman Islands. Yeah. That's how the rich do it.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
He could do whatever he wants.
That's right. So cases like the Tarzan swing, like the wave pool, like the kayak experience, those all should have been covered by Action Parks Insurance, but it didn't actually exist.
Right.
It was all a front. It was all fraudulent. By 1984, the authorities catch on to his scheme. He pleads guilty to fraud and is given $300,000 in fines and 3 years of probation.
Damn.
Additionally, Gene is ordered to sell the park. Mm-hmm. However, he has no intention of selling the park. So far, he's been renting the property from the state of New Jersey. And after all of this happens, they're sending him letters. They're like, okay, you can keep paying us rent, whatever, even though you're on probation. But he decides to provoke them. He stops paying his bills and he ignores his letters. Their letters, sorry. So he's not paying. They're pissed off. He's like, I don't care. How are you going to kick me out? Fuck you, essentially. Yeah. And so after some back and forth, New Jersey agrees to sell him the land for an extremely cheap price. They sell him the land for $800,000.
Oh my God.
Just to get him off their back. And then Gene goes on to expand his park. So it turns out if you just stop paying your bills, they'll sell it to you for cheap. Right. That's how it works, right? That's
I totally guess.
How it works. It's fucking crazy. Now, the authorities only require Jean to report serious injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there isn't that many reports.
Right.
Because also they leave it up to him to decide what is serious enough.
I don't get that.
Like, okay.
How does that work?
You've chosen the wrong person.
Yeah.
When victims or their families sue the park, Jean doesn't ever settle. He drags them into court because he knows that court is tedious, expensive, and emotionally exhausting.
Right.
And he almost always wins the cases.
Holy shit.
But when he doesn't, he just takes his time to pay the victims, sometimes until he is ordered by law enforcement to pay them.
Wow.
So he was an absolute asshole, scamming, scheme artist, right, man. In total, 6 people died at Action Park during its operation. 3 in the wave pool, 1 on the Tarzan swing, 1 on Alpine slide, and 1 person riding the kayak experience.
Mm-hmm.
People wondered why the park wasn't being shut down to these deaths. But turns out Jean was connected with a bunch of wealthy people throughout the state. And Jean's money man, Bob, he was simply a phone call away.
Right.
Also, Jean had his little creepy fingers in with all of the people, like, in the town and in the city,
mm-hmm,
too. And so he was just like, he was like, well, I'm bringing you in money. Why, right, would you shut me down?
Yeah.
I'm bringing in money to, like, here, but also to all of the shops here and the inns and all of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jean would always also fight back in sketchy ways when people questioned him.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a journalist called him up one day to investigate and ask questions. And then this journalist was fired the next day by the boss. Because apparently Jean called this journalist's boss and convinced them, or maybe paid them off,
yeah,
to fire this journalist.
Whoa.
So he had a lot of power. And, mm-hmm, he would also threaten people that questioned him by claiming he would hire a hitman against them if they did anything.
What the fuck?
By 1996, almost, how long would that be? 15 years?
Yeah.
Almost 20 years, actually, because 1978. So,
oh,
18.
Right.
Yeah. So by 1996, about 18 years after Action Park opened, lawsuits had piled up. Less people attended due to how likely it was to be injured. And also things were changing. It was no longer the, like, free-for-all, mm-hmm, Reagan era bullshit. We're, yeah, getting into the late 90s here, right? And Action Park shut down. Many, many, many millions in debt.
Wow.
Since then, the park changed hands many times and changed names. Today, it's still in operation, but just as a really simple water park with only a couple of the older safe rides in place.
Like what?
Like, I actually don't know.
Do you know what it's called?
I do. I'll have to look it up because I can't remember. It's called, like, something Splash or something.
Oh.
Anyway, so then in 2012, Jean died, and the parents of the son who passed away,
mm-hmm,
they had a bottle of champagne to celebrate,
damn,
the death of Jean. And that is the story of Action Park.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. Could you fucking imagine going there?
No.
I feel like I would just be too scared to try anything.
Me too. Yeah.
Or, like, I would do it and I would be like, oh my God, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
I even get scared on, like, the regular water slides.
I know, me too.
Even though they're, like, pretty safe.
Yeah.
I just don't like being not in control and then landing in a thing of water and needing to swim and not die. Yeah.
So scary.
It's super scary.
Well, thank you for telling us that.
Yeah, thanks that everyone crazy. For listening. Yeah, you're welcome. If you have any questions, comments, critiques, or concerns, you can email us at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram at
ghoulsocietypod.
You can find us on TikTok at
ghoul.societypod.
You can find all of the show notes in each episode's descriptions, along with trigger warnings and resources.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so
have
much.
Have a good winter time, and
yeah.
Happy December. Get ready for some
holiday spooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holiday spooks. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Of the month. It's the last day of the month. It's the last day of the month.